Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. There is a document on Henry's website, China Waging War in Space, an after-action report. It's a war game. It takes place in the future. 2027 was the first move. What we've learned is that three teams are looking at each other to determine what is happening. Is this an aggressive move? Are we under attack? The PRC team launches the aggression in 2027. The U.S. team first consults with its allies because it is unclear what the ambition of the PRC is. Is this about Taiwan? Is this about intimidation? Is this simply making us uncomfortable and separating us from our allies? The second move takes place in 2029. What I understand, Henry, what was learned in the first move was that the U.S. is still mostly concentrated on a diplomatic solution. Do I say that correctly? And what does the Japan alliance team make of jaw, jaw, not war, war?
It's not quite that bad, but what the allies have in this move is limited. The number of rendezvous satellites that could move offensive or suspect, I should say suspect Chinese satellites away from the satellites that we want to protect, in particular our command and control satellites for our nuclear conventional forces. You know, the Chinese put satellites very, very close to those critical military satellites of ours. And that was frightening. What are they going to do? Is that just an accident? Are they not going to do anything untoward towards our satellites? Because they can move very quickly once they're close. It takes months to get them to that position close to our key satellites for command and control, particularly up in a very distant orbit called geosynchronous, which allows the satellite to rotate around the Earth and view a particular part of the Earth all the time. So that the Chinese took months to get several of these satellites closest to our most important national command and control and imagery satellites. And we didn't know, well, what could they do very quickly after they had gotten close? And so the set of concerns was, can we put our own maneuvering satellites, rendezvous satellites, to push the Chinese satellites away from our very dear key military satellites? And the short answer was we didn't have many. That's a problem. We had some, but it became very clear in this first move that, boy, you want to have them. And we were caught short.
In the second move, the ambition of the PRC is to fragment the allies, and they're very successful. I note from the documents, the Japan and regional allies team, many wanted a diplomatic solution, but Australia, good old Oz, wants to go on the offense right away. The UK and France are looking to put up bodyguard satellites, in other words, defensive only. Germany hesitates, blocking the EU and NATO consensus. The Japan team wants the U.S. to act in some fashion and also enforce or protect the Republic of Korea, which is extremely threatened, but wants to know, is this about North Korea or is this about China? In other words, what we have is a Tower of Babel has emerged. Was that the PRC mission in the first place, to break them up?
There's better news than that portrayal. The game actually is a little more upbeat about what we were able to do. You gave a very accurate portrayal of what the problems were. But what what the game allowed us to do, even lacking all the things that we wanted to deal with the Chinese threat, two things. First of all, we learned that although the Allies don't work well with one another as much as they need to, and you just laid out the scenario how that worked, they do work reasonably well with the United States. And what happened during the game is we supplied services, military and civil services to the Japanese and to the South Koreans, even though their satellites have been sort of disabled temporarily by the Chinese. And that kept the alliance much tighter than we expected. And in fact, the Chinese ultimately failed to intimidate the Japanese to such an extent that the Japanese wouldn't help us to deal with a threat to Taiwan. We kept the alliance together, even not having the optimal mix of tools and space to deal with the threat the Chinese presented. So, and I think, by the way, that's not Pollyannish. I think that is a pretty accurate portrayal of how things might unfold and what we still can do.
So the first 6 months, there's fragmentation. The second 6 months, we're focusing on possible solutions. This is a war game, and so they're looking at how the teams are voting. The first is diplomatic. What I believe is necessary, and I read between the lines here, is we do not have an international agreement that permits the U.S. and its allies to say you're in violation. Is that correct, Henry? Nothing exists right now about this war in space.
What we have is woefully insufficient.
And because of its insufficiency, the U.S. wants that document. In other words, before we build more X-37Bs, before we come to space tugs, we need something to be on paper, signatories, including the PRC, that when and if they seem to cross a red line, there is collective action, similar to what we're seeing in Eastern Europe right now. That's an ambition. Is it realistic, Henry? Is anybody ready to write that document?
Well, there are plenty of people ready to write the document. I just don't know that you can get the Russians and Chinese to say, oh, absolutely, far from it. I think, however, one of the points of the game was even if you can't get Russia and China to formally agree to a treaty, amongst our allies, we ought to make very clear amongst ourselves and to Russia and China what the red lines are for us. And we should not be coy about this, and so that they understand what is the behavior that will trigger a response. Now, the spacefaring and military community is very uneasy with this. They would prefer to preserve all their options by not talking publicly about any of this. However, one of the neat things about this game is it became very clear that that's untenable. And what's interesting, and most people don't know this, is other countries like France are publicly talking about the need for this. And I think this administration, to its credit, is beginning to talk about it. We need to get on with it because you can't probably work combat in space unless you have agreement about what is a cause belli. You just can't do that. I mean, you can't make it up after the fact. You have to be clear about it before you go into any kind of combat.
The second possibility was to go on the attack, to dazzle, to use cyber weapons and lower powered lasers. I put that together with the third possibility. These were discussions in the second 6 months. Was to deploy bodyguard. In other words, build a big wall of satellites to protect our important stuff. And the fourth was the capabilities of the U.S. alliance ties have to be strengthened in order to deter China from moving this initially. I like them all, except for the one we're going on the aggression. Was that a uniform position? Did people see aggression was necessary, or were they holding back?
Well, I want to be clear. Actually, we have this image of two fighters punching one another in space and kinetic blows. That's not really what folks should be thinking about with regard to quote unquote aggression. The kinds of things we were doing that we were considering and did to some extent had to do with cyber interference with the operation of Chinese satellites, temporarily disabling by dazzling with ground-based lasers and electronic warfare, bodyguards that would push a satellite out of a lethal range but not disable it. In other words, we need to stop watching Star Wars. You know, that is not what space warfare is about. It's a fun movie, but it's not where the action's at.
There is one detail here that I smiled when I read it. Attack the terrestrial targets. I like that, Henry. Satellites.
Well, you're going to have to do if you consider that seriously, and that is kinetic. We have a problem with electronic warfare systems based on the ground and lasers based on the ground. We probably need to talk publicly about this problem and actually have a diplomatic public effort to circumscribe what kinds of activities can be done to make sure they're civil and peaceful, and what kinds of activities go over a line where you may get knocked out or attacked if you do those things. And I've written with other much more able experts than myself, thankfully, about this, but there's not very much in the public literature about it. That needs to change. Because you may have to actually take action, military action, and strike and destroy something on the ground. And we need to be clear about the cause belli, when that's appropriate, and very clear with our allies as to when that is. Otherwise, you will have great difficulty doing it and justifying it.
China waging war in space, an after-action report when we come back. From the executive summary, lessons learned from the China space war game conducted by Henry Sokolsky and his colleagues. Henry is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.